Mr. Hashem, we will have we will be discussing a Pesach related topic. Then obviously we won't meet again till after Pesach. But Mr. Hashem, next Sunday we will, Be'ezras Hashem, meet and discuss a Pesach topic. The topic will be: should we all be drinking 5 cups instead of 4 cups at the Seder? Okay, so we'll be discussing that in Mr. Hashem. Not halacha, but lamdas like we do usually on Sunday morning. So that will be next Sunday. We'll be discussing that topic. Just for the sheets that are here today, it's a little confusing as always. So you should take one sheet that says on it Shir Nun Hey and one sheet that says on it Shir Nun Vav, because we have to finish up one side from Sheet Nun Hey, and then we'll start in Mitzvah Shem, the new Shir. Whatever we don't get to, we'll have to get to Mitzvah Shem after Pesach. Very quickly, just a thought on the Parsha. We know in last week's Parsha, the Torah discusses childbirth. The Torah tells us if a lady has a baby boy, there's Tumah for X amount of days, a baby girl, there's Tumah for a different amount of days. But either genders, boy or girl, the Torah tells us that there's some form of tumah process, and she needs to bring a carbon. She brings a carbon chatas when it's all over. And the mefarshim and the gemara struggles to understand why does a lady that has a baby need to bring a carbon? She didn't do anything wrong. Chatas is for a sin. She didn't sin. She brought life into the world. The gemara tells us that Mashiach will not come until all the babies that are supposed to be born are born. So this lady actually was mekarev the geula. So why does she have to bring a carbon chatas? So the Gemara gives an answer, which is hard to understand. The Gemara talks about the fact that she might have said things during the pains of child labor that she didn't mean. But I saw a very beautiful pshat that the difference is that when a lady's in the middle of childbirth, obviously pre-epidural, for sure, you know, she makes a lot of kabbalas in her head about what she wants. You know, when any of us are in a lot of pain or physically or emotionally, we make a lot of things. You know, Hashem, if you'll be with me, I'll do this, I'll do that. And very often after the pain passes, so goes the Kabbalah as well. How many of us said, you know, if Hashem, you get me through this difficult situation, I'll do X and Y. Then all of a sudden we forget about that. Famous story by a non-religious Jew that was, you know, considering joining, you know, the religious side of things. And he was looking for a parking spot in Manhattan for a very important meeting. And he's traveling. He says, God, you know what? If you gave me that parking spot, so I'm not late to the meeting, I'm joining. So all of a sudden he makes it up and he says, oh, forget it, God, I found the parking spot. We all know the story, right? That's the way most of us are as human beings. When we're in stress, we're in a difficult situation, we say, okay, Hashem, I'll do this, I'll do that. All of a sudden, okay, it deals off, everything's good. So that's why this woman, when she's in the middle of the pains of childbirth, she might have made up her mind she's going to be a better person. She's going to say more to Hillel, she's going to do more mitzvahs. And over time, as she gets better and she feels better, and Baruch Hashem, she has a healthy baby, perhaps some of those Kabbalahs fall to the wayside. And I don't think it's just a woman in childbirth that has this struggle. I think we all do, especially after Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and I think after October 7th, many of us make Kabbalahs. And we said, we're going to do things differently. And I can only speak for myself. How many of us have stuck to those Kabbalahs that we said we're going to do for Klai Yisrael? And unfortunately, the situation in Yisrael has only gotten more complicated since then, since last night, for that matter, since Friday night. It's very, very scary what's going to be in Yisrael. I think we're all worried and we're all going to make, I think we all should make some form of a Kabbalah, but I would suggest make them practical. Not something that 3 months from now, we're not even going to forget, remember keeping it. We're not even going to remember we made the Kabbalah. Right, let's make it something very small. They say, an amazing story for Reb Shach. The Godel Hador Reb Shach, he used to tell people during the Gulf War, the bench inside from a bencher, which seems very simple. But Reb Shach said about himself, he made that Kabbalah only once a week for Shabbos, only when he was home, only the first bracha, and only for 1 year. To bench inside from a bencher. This is Reb Shach we're talking about. And he said, I only want to make Kabbalah that I know I can do. Reb Shach, he only wanted Kabbalahs that he felt he can do. So are we better than Reb Shach? We have to make kabbalas that are practical, whether it's to say one kapitel to him, one line to him. You know, to make a kabbalah after, you know, from now on, I'm not speaking Lashon Hara, is you know, it's like all those people who sign up for the gym after the holidays, and we don't know where that goes, right? It's not going anywhere. It's got to be, that's true, but it's got to be practical. And Mitzvah Shem, we talk in the Adab for Achele B'nai Yisrael, it's a very, very, very scary situation. People are going to Eretz Yisrael now, people are coming back from Eretz Yisrael. There's a lot of travel this time of the year, and it's there's a lot to be worried about. So Mitzvah Shem, we should be makabel things, again, small, practical things in this chos for Achenu B'nei Yisrael. Okay, so we left off last week. We were talking about the din.
What is exactly? Where does it end?
Too big for today to discuss. It's a big discussion. You got to learn the Chavetz Chaim. You got to go through his Sfarim, his books. He'll set it up for you very perfectly. The Shmir is Halashon. Beautiful. English, Hebrew, whatever language you want. He will explain to you all the rules. You got to Chavetz Chaim. Shmir is Halashon. Great, great read. Yeah, sure. Yeah, for sure. It's a great read. Yeah. Shmiras Aloshan. So we learned last week that there's a mitzvah deraisa, most likely, to stand up for one's parents when they walk into the room. And we learned it from a little bit of a backward source, from a story with Rabbi Yosef that when he would hear his mother coming, he'd stand up for her. So we learned last week that there's a chiyuv, an obligation to stand up for one's parents, and that obligation is the same as one has for the rabbi muvuk. The same way if a person has a rabbi muvuk, a rabbi who taught him roif chokhmasay, whatever that means exactly today, doesn't mean the shul rabbi, doesn't mean your rabbi that you had for half a year in Eretz Yisrael before you jumped shir to another shir. He's a rabbi that you really have a deep, and there are people that have these relationships with their rabbi and that they've real felt that this rabbi trained them and taught them how to learn and gave them a mahalach, and they go to that rabbi for everything. So that's maybe a rabbi muvak, maybe. So then the halach is based on the Rambam, and most likely the Shulchan Aruch, that then you have to stand up for your parents the same way you stand up for that rabbi, which included standing up the moment you see them. It also included staying standing until they sit down, much more severe than necessarily for a regular rabbi who walks by. So again, not that this is a halacha shir, but again, it came out from the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam last week that the standing that one does for their parents is much more severe than the standing you do when the rabbi walks in or any rabbi walks in. You have to stand up molei molein of the moment you see him. You have to stand up molei kumasai all the way up, none of this half-baked stuff. And you got to stand until he leaves the room. But now I just want to veer off for a second. We've been discussing the similarity and the comparison to a rabbi muvok to a parent. We said that whatever you do for your rabbi muvok, you got to do for your parent. But take a look at a Ramah in Yeridaya, tucked away in Hilchos Sefer Torah. Mamish tucked away. The Ramah writes like this: Hashemea koil hanoyseh Sefer Torah. Let's say you hear the voice of someone carrying a Sefer Torah. You hear someone carrying a Sefer Torah. You don't see it, but you know he's carrying a Sefer Torah. He's screaming, he's yelling. Maybe there's bells on the Sefer Torah, but you can hear that a Sefer Torah is going to be coming your way. Says the Ramah, Aval pi she'ein eroyeh oisai, even though you don't see the Sefer Torah. You have to stand up for the Sefer Torah. We know that the halacha is with the Sefer Torah. One is only mechuyev to stand up when the Sefer Torah is moving. We pointed this out many times. When the Sefer Torah is munach ba'or neker adin, you don't have to stand up. Yeah, when the bottom of 15 on Shia Nun Hey, the bottom all the way left corner. So we know the halacha is you only have to stand up for the Sefer Torah while it's moving. But here the Ramah says not only do I have to stand up when the Sefer Torah is moving, I don't even see it, but I know it's coming. I hear the voice of the guy carrying the Sefer Torah. I hear the noisei Sefer Torah. Says the Ramah, you already have to stand up now. Where did the Ramah get this from? It's a very strange halacha. Pashas, you only have to stand up when you see the Sefer Torah, like a rabbi. Says the Vilna Gaon number 16, Kamosha Kosav, Bikadushin, Lamed Aleph, Omid Beis, Reb Yosef. Zok the Gaon, Gevaldik. So it says the Vilna Gaon, this Ramah is our Gemara. You see from our Gemara that Reb Yosef stood up, not when he saw his parents, but when he heard his parents. Therefore, says the Vilna Gaon, same thing with the Sefer Torah. Not only do you stand up when you see the Sefer Torah, you stand up when you hear or anticipate the Sefer Torah is going to come. Very nice. There's only one problem. What's the obvious problem? It's beautiful tzushta, beautiful comparison. Doesn't say that in Hilchos Kibud Aveim. Doesn't say in Hilchos Kibud Aveim you have to stand up when you hear your parents coming. It says you have to stand up when you see your parents. But if I'm learning in Hilchos Sefer Torah from this Gemara and Kiddushin that I have to stand up when I hear my parent coming, and therefore I have to stand up when I hear the Sefer Torah coming, why don't I have to stand up when I hear my parent coming? How could this be bigger than the source itself? The source was Kibud Aveim. The Ramah compared Kibud Aveim to Sefer Torah. By Kibud Aveim, we don't do this. I mean, this Ramah doesn't say by Kibud Aveim, the Eshoimrim, that not only do you have to stand up when you see your father, you have to stand up when you hear your father. It doesn't say that.
See us was he can
Oh,
hear.
correct. Right. Must be Rabbi Yosef was a technical problem. But this, to me, is very shver. According to this Ramah, we have a makar from our Gemara, yet in our Gemara, it doesn't make its way to the halacha. Right? This Ramah that says, when you hear the voice of someone carrying a Sefer Torah, you have to stand up. And according to the Vilna Gaon, the makar of that is our sugya, but it doesn't work its way into our sugya. Because the Ramah in Hilchos Kibud Aveim and Semir Reish Mem, never, it says in Shulchan Aruch, Chayiv Lamay Bifnei Aviv. You have to stand up in front of your father. It doesn't say you have to stand up when you hear your father coming. But according to the Ramah in Yerideya, at the end of Hilchos Sefer Torah, it should be that not only when you see your father coming, you should have to stand up when you hear your father coming. And you live in a house and you hear him coming down the steps. So you hear him on his phone. You know he's coming in, right? Today it's so much easier, right? You hear your father talking on his cell phone. You know he's about to come into the house. You hear him on the steps. You know he's coming down. He's coming up, whatever it is. So according to this Ramah and Shulchan Aruch, you should have to be standing before he even makes it into the room.
Maybe this is more of a Shema side. Maybe this is more of a connected thing.
But again, but the problem that I'm going to have is that the Vilna Gaon said this halacha was from our Gemara. So our Gemara is the example of Kibud Aveim. So how does it not get made and baked into the halacha lemaisa of Kibud Aveim? We're using our Gemara to apply to Sefer Torah. We're saying that by Sefer Torah, since the Sefer Torah is so chashiv, It's like Yossi standing for his parents. Yossi was standing for his parents. But what about for standing for real parents? You don't have to.
Maybe the Rachel and Shmuel just in general. Like, not another fact that it's not dependent on Aaliyah. Maybe that's the source.
Is that true for Kibbutz Avim also?
Right.
But it's not, because the Ramah doesn't say that.
Is it
Unless the Ramah
possible maybe
thinks.
you could learn out only part of it? Means, so, in other words, what Pshat, you only learn out part of it.
So
You
we're going to
don't
have to
learn
be
out the.
Mechala.
Right. In other words, because by. Right.
But the problem is, it's weird because the Ramah in Yerideya should have said something earlier in Yerideya when he got the Kibbutz Avim. He told me he assumed that everyone's going to learn Resh Pei Beis. When they see Resh Pei Beis, they're going to say, ah, the same way you stand up for your Sefer Torah. That's a big assumption. So let's see. Let's try to see if we can figure this out. So if you learn the next page, so if you take a look in the Gilyon Marsha on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, number 17, he writes, "Ein lekamon semer reish pei beis siv beis v'hagah hashemei akoil." He tells us that there's a Ramah later on in Hilchos Sefer Torah that says that you have to stand up when you hear the sound of the carrier of the Sefer Torah. V'zeh nilmad mirab tarfin umidrab Yosef. Okay, let's collect with Yosef. Karavishamei v'imkein mashmashu hu min adin lama b'nei ofi b'shemei akoil. So says the Gilyon Marsha, halacha l'maaseh. The same way the Ramah writes, you have to stand up when you hear the person who's carrying the Sefer Torah, and the makor of that is our Gemara. So put it back to Kibbutz Avim. So the Gilyon Marsha Taka thinks halacha l'maaseh, you do have to. So Rabbi Muvok, good question. It's a good question,
Why is he only saying
right?
by him?
Right, because that's where we have this Gemara. But this, that's a good something to think about. Would you then have to rewrite all the halachas according to this? Now, do we?
That's some halacha there, these poskim are saying, or just it's a
Exactly.
it's
The
a
Ramah doesn't say chumrah. Ramah says Hashemaya Kol Anoyis Sefer Torah Afa Pishin Eroy. He says Chayiv Lamed, obligatory.
But Torah, so does that transfer that to
It
the
should,
Gemara?
because according to the Vilna Gaon, this halacha was learned from our Gemara, from our Reb Yosef. Our Reb Yosef was the entire example of Kibbutz Avim. So if this Ramah felt comfortable learning from our story that you have to stand up when you hear your parent, so that should then become part of the halacha. Yet it's not. It does not become the halacha, at least not according to the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, which would then make it a steer in Ramah, that the Ramah should have wrote in Hilchos Kibbutz Avim, it's Mitzvah Mem. He should have wrote on the Mechaber when the Mechaber says Chayiv Lamoy Bifnei Aviv. The Ramah should have said not only Lama Bifnei Aviv, Chayiv Lamoy Kishe Shama Kol Aviv. The Ramah does not. So what's going on over here? So the Gilyon Marsha Taka Paskins halacha umaisa like that, and I put it on the sheet. But the Aruch HaShulchan Paskins like that also. Again, not this is not a halacha topic, but that's the way he Paskins. Yeah.
In number two,
Yeah.
where he was explaining the halachah here, and he said, you know, he was flying the Kol Mokom Kishushama, right? So if they're not in the room yet, and they don't know whether you're standing or not, but you're standing because you hear them, that's not Bechlodom because they don't feel it, right? They only feel it when they actually walk into the room.
Right, meaning you.
But maybe it meant that when he heard them entering into the room that he was, so that they could see that. Standing for
Yeah, but
them.
again,
Hears them upstairs coming down the stairs, standing up doesn't do them any good.
no, the
See
point
it?
is you stand up when they come into the room, you're already standing.
Matter what.
You're pre-standing.
You're pre-standing.
All right, so when they walk into the room, it's already a bigger. Again,
Maybe it's
so how do you
standing.
understand the Ramon Yerodea? The Ramon number 15. Ramon says that you're supposed to stand up when you hear the voice of the person carrying the Sefer Torah, even though you don't see him. What's that about? Says the Vilna Gaon from our Gemara. Because if Yosef would stand up before his parents even showed up.
So if you're in a room, you're in the shul, and they're having an achlasa sefer Torah, and they're 2 blocks away, and you know they're coming.
According
You
to
have
this,
to stand up and when you hear them coming.
according to this Ramah,
Right.
yeah, that's.
This seems strange. The only more they could find, or the only source they could find, is Rav Yosef.
Yes.
So it seems like Rav Yosef is because he was like no.
if you take a look in the Taz on this halacha, the Taz is very upset with this Ramah. He says, "Lo shamanu v'lo." We never heard of such halacha. Like David's saying, you have to stand up for Achnas Zevitar 5 blocks away. He says, "Lo shamanu v'lo." You know this din, you have to stand up. That's the Taz's horror on.
You can find another example after Rabbi Yosef said. You
Right.
can find an example of another more that didn't only heal nerves.
Right. Seemingly, there's no other proof. So that makes it even more strange. So again, we'll have to see how to work this all out. But I think it's an interesting kasha that according to this Ramah in Hilchos Sefer Torah, how do we apply it to Kibbutz Avim? So if you take a look over here in the Shevet Halevi by Shmuel Vosner, he bavons our kasha, but it doesn't seem to give us the full answer that I was hoping for. He writes, "O me hatayim anil and isdak the hodr of Yosef bekedushin sham." Says Vosner, you're going to have to say that this idea that Rabbi Yosef stood up when he heard his parents, even before they were in the eyesight, that is not the halacha. That's why the poskim don't bring it down. Says Rabbi Vosma, I'll prove it to you. We learned that whatever you do for your parents is what you do for your rabbi. We don't find anywhere that a rabbi, when you hear the rabbi's coming, you got to stand up before he comes in. Right? You don't have to. So I in the come on Reish Mandal Sev test. I fracked the Bosner Umashikasa Belgilium Masha Kandahu Medina. I the Gilliam Masha, but you just read a source above says you do have to. Come on, Rish Perik Bay, based on the Ramah Bahago, Hashemea calls a Vitor of Unilma Mahadi Gdushan and now Harry the Dina who Hine Aim Bishak Shoms of Gim and the like Hamel and Kane. Says Rav Vosner, I don't worry so much about that Ramah. That Ramah is not accepted La Loko, as we mentioned from the Shach and the Taz. Now, that's very nice. But it doesn't answer for the Ramah himself. That answers for me and you why we don't have to feel guilty that we don't stand up for our parents when we hear them. But what did the Ramah hold? The Ramah writes you do have to stand up for a Sefer Torah when you hear it's coming, which would then mean the Ramah would hold you have to stand up for a parent when you hear him coming. Yet the Ramah doesn't write that. So this Ramah is very helpful to help you sleep at night why you're not a bad child if you don't stand up for your parents when you hear them coming. So Allah Almighty said we don't pass like the Ramah. But I wonder what the Ramah held. Let's help the Ramah. Yeah.
The Ma didn't, the Gra said that's the source.
Okay. Do we have another source of this Rama? I guess. My cash is hinged on the Gra's learning of the Rama. Correct. If you have another way of learning this Rama, which maybe we'll get to, then my cash is not such a cash. Yeah.
Going back to this idea from before, maybe we have to think about why someone is required to stand up.
For what?
For either of the two. Maybe they're not exactly the same reason.
Which two?
The Sefer Torah versus the parents.
Probably you're gonna run into a wall because the Vilna Gaon connected the two.
Yes, but the reasoning might, the difference in the reasoning might have an impact.
Okay, so
when you stand up.
Okay,
that's what I think connect them is that the kibud is because the father is seeing that you're mechabed him, and that was his idea.
Right.
And the other thing, the Sefer Torah, that's not the idea behind it. It's when it's for you.
So why do I have to stand up when I hear
you know what's coming in.
Right.
But you don't need the Sefer Torah. The Sefer Torah doesn't get anything from you standing up. Whereas your parent
doesn't if they're in the other room either.
The point.
But the Sefer Torah, so my standing for the Sefer Torah is why?
It's for you.
And that
you internally understand that you have to.
Right. So we're going to see. I think the answer to this.
That's what you were saying.
I think the answer to this question is going to be.
Sort of. I mean, it's for your benefit to show cover.
Right.
But it's not for you.
I think the good answer is going to be. I think what both of you are saying is what I think the answer is that. There's the raya from the Gemara is that the highest level of kibud is when you stand up before the person's even there. That's what we see from the Gemara. Now, as you both are pointing out, sometimes you need that, sometimes you don't need that. But that's the highest category of kibud. That is the best you can do. That's what we're bringing a raya. That's what the Vilna Gaon was bringing a raya to. The Vilna Gaon's raya from the Gemara was that Rabbi Yossi did this. That is the highest level of kibud you can do. Now, it could be for a parent, you don't need it.
He did it.
Not because he
didn't see.
Okay, we'll get to that. That's the chidah. We'll get to that in a second. We'll see the chidah's teretz. Yes, we'll get to that. That's the chidah's answer. But even before that, even if you want to keep it in the realm of everything is equal, the pshat was Rabbi Yosef, like Rabbi Vosner was saying, but Rabbi Yosef knew he didn't have to do this. So why did he do it? Because he held that this is the greatest way, the best way to show kibbutz is by doing this. Not necessarily that everyone has to do it, not that this is what all Jews have to do. All Jews have to show honor to their parents by standing up. Not all Jews have to do this highest level of standing up before they come. Before I say Vitari, we show the highest level of kibbutz.
But if you stand before they come, you're actually not showing them kibbutz.
What? When they walk in?
You walk in and everybody's standing already.
Oh, that's aggressive. I think that's a big kibbutz. You see, when people walk in and everyone's already standing.
Maybe Rabbi Yosef did it because he didn't want to be over and not standing when his parent walked into the room. And since he couldn't see them.
We'll get there in a second. That's a chidah.
It was almost like
Yes. We'll get to that. We'll get to that in a second. But I want to say, even before that practical side note, because Rabbi Yosef was blind, it could be even a lumdus. Rabbi Yosef knew that standing up when you hear them is a very high level of kibbutz. And it's not required for a parent. Maybe for a Sefer Torah. Meaning, when the Vilna Gaon brought a raya for Rabbi Yosef, he wasn't saying that this is what you have to do for kibbutz Avim. He's been raya for Rabbi Yosef, but this is a concept of kibbutz. This is the highest level of kibbutz. Maybe. Now,
when we stand up for Torah, we stand up for a document from God.
Right.
We don't show respect to Torah necessarily, show respect to God who gave us the Torah.
It's
the ultimate Torah.
Yeah, but it's hard to show respect to Hashem in that way. You know, we do stand up sometimes for things which are shechina. How many of us did Kiddush Levana last night? What do we say in Kiddush Levana? Tzarech lamem emumot. We have to say Kiddush Levana standing. We don't usually have that type of interaction with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we have to do things standing. Kiddush Levana is one of those rare exceptions that we have. So Vosner leaves off and he says, ואויד היך ישמיתו הפויסקים הדים במקיימו וירמזו אויס את מוקם אחר בדימים בעלמו. I mean, instead of us, how could the Ramah not tell us in Hilchos Kibud Aveim what you have to do and assume you'll figure it out based on Hilchos Sefer Torah? That's a stretch. Therefore, he writes to me, "Haytaimod the Gamhochol the Kamlok." So he doesn't think we pass on like that. Again, this Rav Vaza doesn't help us in Lomdus because it doesn't answer for the Ramah himself. It only answers for the practical halacha. It doesn't answer for the Ramah. So comes along the Chidah and the Birki Yosef, and he comes up with a Morgish Makater. So he writes like this. He says, "V'heraya demaisi harav menoyach." So he says, first of all, Rabbi Yosef cannot be the example of Kibud Aveim. First of all, Rabbi Yosef, chumrihi, v'lav medine ovid. He says right away, and we spoke about this last week, when we read this Gemara, do we learn Rabbi Yosef as that's what halacha dictates? Rabbi Yosef was one of those great people who did great things for his parents, like a paraffin who turned himself into a human ladder for his parents. So now, the problem with saying that's Midas Chasidus is what? We learned last week. That the Kesef Mishnah writes that this is the whole Makar, they have to stand up for your parent. If this was Midas Chasidus, how did this become the Makar? So, Frek the Chida, Ibro, the Smag, Usmak, Ubisef Yireim, the Maisla, Bistoma, Mashma, the Havimedinoi, the Lloyd Derech Humer Baalmo, Vachi Chazin Alam, do Kesef Mishnah. And that's how the Kesef Mishnah understood that it's not Midas Chasidus, it is the technical law. Shu'aim if Neirabi, Havi Hodim Yosef Mashma, the Sabi, the Havimedin. So, it says, first of all, says the Chida, you can't go that route. And we really discussed this heavily last week. Is Rabbi Yosef Midas Chasidus or Rabbi Yosef is Alpi Allah? So the Lecha Mishnah, the Kesef Mishnah said right away, it's not Negeah. Because the Kesef Mishnah and the Beis Yosef was the same person. Believe it or not, some young people don't know that. I'm talking about people who learn Rambam all day, still don't know that. Okay, it's a problem. The Jewish education is a little tweaking a little bit. But the Kesef Mishnah and the Beis Yosef was the same person. And I asked some other Swam at the Beis Yosef wrote that I really don't expect him to know. But the Abakas Reichel and other things, that's very too complicated. But it's the same person. And in both commentaries, he writes the same idea. That what? That the Mekor that one has to stand up for their parent is learned from our Sugya of Rabbi Yosef. Which means, Rabbi Yosef was not a Hasidus. Rabbi Yosef was not extra piety. Rabbi Yosef was letter of the law. Thank you. Okay, right? So what's going on over here? So says the Chida Berecha. He says, no. Umiu ain't right. This is what everyone was jumping on me 2 minutes ago. Ain't right. Maspekas lo kuma shemeya kol anoyis sevatari Rabbi Yosef saginor. Nope. Says the chidor Rabbi Yosef was blind. The kiven the chayiv lamay b'nei of the aim meloyeno. And since a child has to stand up for a parent the moment he sees him, he says, but since he was blind, that's an impossibility. Lahoche kei shama kol kaye toleyavi efshalei lo kumoleyeno. That's why he had to stand up when he heard them. Because if he doesn't stand up now, when's he going to stand up? It's going to be too late. Therefore, says the Chidava, "Amtu lahochi maisila hapoiskan lashminan the covid oviv godo yosef moi the chayvlokim kiraboy." And therefore, we can't learn out from Rabbi Yosef that you have to stand up when just hearing it, because Rabbi Yosef was unique. But again, Rabbi Yosef, this doesn't answer for the Ramah. It doesn't answer for the Ramah. The Ramah Rabbi Yosef was blind, and the Ramah still says what he says.
And why wouldn't the example be or the lesson be that it be putter? In other words, he's not. He's
that's a type of discussion.
If he's bringing it,
So that's part of you. We didn't get through this, but we mentioned the Nachas Tzvi on the side of the Shulchan Aruch. Simon Reishman has a long discussion. Was it Bi Yosef even Chayv in the first place? Was he Pata? Was he a whole discussion?
The fact that he could, he had the field, he could say.
Right, but we know from the Kesef Mishnah that obviously Bi Yosef wasn't Chayv. Because if Bi Yosef wasn't Chayv, then how can we learn from here that every healthy person has to stand up for their parent. Maybe only Yosef was a makbid.
What is
if
to know. Today for a person?
So he has to stand up when he hears them. He taka has to do kishama. But says the chida, the rest of us, we go like the regular rule when we stand in front of us. But if all this lumdus doesn't answer for the ramostel, this all helps us sleep at night halakha lemaisa. So halakha lemaisa, if you hear your parent on the telephone walking up the steps, you hear them coming down the steps, you know they're about to walk into the room, you don't have to stand up. But it doesn't explain the ramos. You have to say like everyone here was saying. It could be what the Ramah took out from the story of Rabbi Yosef wasn't the halacha l'maaseh shabbat, but was the idea, the recognition of standing, and maybe a machal between Sefer Torah and other v'im.
It makes sense.
Oh, I'm sorry, no, I just didn't add him.
Okay.
Yeah.
It makes sense, really, because if the whole point of standing up is to slow down.
Yes.
If you're already standing when they walk in, it's not nicker that you were standing for.
Possibly.
You were just standing
right,
when they
be.
Walked in.
Could be.
So you have to stand up only when you see each other so that they can see that you're standing.
So we're going to talk more about that, this whole idea of what the Gemara is going to call later on, hiddur sheyesh b'kim, kima sheyesh b'hiddur, that the standing up is clearly defining why I'm doing it, as opposed to standing up because, you know, I have other reasons to stand up.
Yeah.
We'll get to it. It's a long sugya. We'll see. There's a briskerov about it. A lot to get to. Bili neder.
parent required to be aware that you're doing, let's say the parent can't see a sign.
That's another. So the Nachat Svi discusses that also. What would happen if the parent would be blind? Parent doesn't see anything. He doesn't know if he stand up for him. It's also a discussion that is also discussed as well. Okay, let's veer off for a second to discuss something else. Once we're in this world of Kibbutz Aviv, let's take a look at another Rambam. Says the Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah. Again, this is not. I'm not bringing this in so much halacha ma'aseh as I am just for the Ora Shabbat. How often would you have to stand up for your parents? This is a Yom Tov time. People having their parents for 2 days, right? They're coming in and out of the house the whole time. Every single time they walk into the room, you got to jump up. Maybe, I don't know. Again, is that the halacha? So that's true. They probably are Michael at some point. I think we mentioned this last time that Reb Chaim Kanevsky said when he was a kid in his house, his father was Michael until they got married. Once the kids got married, it wasn't Michael anymore. He felt that they have to stand up for him. Okay, so let's say you're married, you have your parents over for Yom Tov. Every single time they walk into the kitchen, if you're barking, you have both parents, your mom's going to be going to get a good workout the whole Yom Tov. You're up and down the whole Yom Tov. It's like not even could I just sit. Might as well just stay standing the whole time. So if you take...
To be clear, this doesn't apply to you.
No, you don't have to.
Oh, wow.
That you do not have to do.
But didn't we say,
even though we did have a discussion, we definitely discussed this in previous Shurim that the chavod that one has to show for their in-laws is not the same level. Definitely not kima. That you don't have to do. Yeah, that you don't have to do. No. So let's take a look at the Rambam Hilchos Talmud Torah. What do you mean by Trump? That's the whole discussion in the Gemara. So that's the case of the Mishnais. Right, so that's what the Mishnais and Tzachim talk about. Then the Mishnais and Tzachim talk about, can a son b'chlal be meisiv if you have his father at the table? Can you meisiv if you have your Rebbe at the table? So then we assume there's mechila because they want you to do the mitzvah. But I guess you should ask them before, listen, mom and dad, is it okay? Get clarity before you start to say it. So take a look at the Rambam, Melchus Talmud Torah. Talk to the Rambam. Talmud shu yoyshev v'nei rabbi tomid. The student is sitting in front of his Rebbe all the time. He can only stand up twice a day for his Rebbe. Why? You can't show more honor to your Rebbe than you do to Hashem. We're only mekabel olmach Hashemayim twice a day. Shachos v'arvis. There was Zokti Rambam. You're only allowed to stand up for your parent, your Rebbe Muvuk, twice a day. So let's say the Rebbe's in yeshiva. Again, this is a right that Rebbeim used to be in yeshiva a lot. Okay. Now a lot of Rebbeim come, they say shir, and they're out. You don't see them for the rest of the day. So they say shit 3 days later. But here he says that the rabbi's there and he's in and out, he's coming around. Right? You can have these kids in the Beis Medrash. Every minute the rabbi walks to the Beis Medrash, they jump up. Right? Spend the whole first Seder jumping up and down. Oh, there you go. That's what we're going to get to. Because a parent might be higher than Kavod Shemayim because of the Shutzvus. That Kavod Baruch Hu's there. That's what we have to get to. Very good. That's where I want to go.
Yeah. Right in the first seat. As soon as you walk in this way, nobody would ever have to stand because you automatically walk into your seat.
There you go. So this is this again. So according to the Rambam, it's only twice a day. Why? You shouldn't show more honor to your parent, to your rabbi than you would to Hashem. Okay.
Simchas Torah. About whether somebody has to stand the whole day.
Different shaila. Oh, because the Sefer Torah with the Sefer Torah. Yeah, that's a different question. Whether or not you have to send the whole hakafas.
And also,
he's not going to go out in that.
The arm's open or just because
the arm's not the problem. Sivitera, we discussed this in the past. Sivitera moving. Right. That's a different child. Yeah, it's a sugi. We've definitely touched upon this in the past. This is the Rambam Shita. If you look in the Mordechai says something very interesting. He writes, he disagrees. Now, again, there's Gemara's about this that Belinet that we have to see that discussed this Shaila about how many times should you stand up for your rabbi. But the Mordechai writes, Mordechai, what do you mean? He's assuming that for a parent, you treat it like a rabbi mover, which means you only have to go twice a day. So, Frek the Mordechai, and how do you explain Reb Tarfin, who turned himself into a ladder anytime his mother needs to get up off and down the bed? So, we assume his mother went off the bed, like the Gemara says, twice a day. She came down the bed when she woke up, and she went up the bed when she was only twice a day. The Mordechai is assuming maybe she took a mid-afternoon nap. Maybe she went back on the bed. And let's say Rabbi Yosef. The Gemara says, whenever Rabbi Yosef heard his mother's voice, how many times a day did he hear his mother's voice? Maybe his mother lived, he built a little apartment next to him, and she came in all the time. So the Mordechai is assuming that the Gemara meant any time the mother came in, Rabbi Yosef jumped up. In fact, the Mordechai, what happened to the Gemara that says by a rabbi, it's only twice a day, says the Mordechai, mashma filu kuf pa'am. You see from over here that when it comes to kibud other v'ima, you do it 100 times a day.
Why would this aspect keep it be limited versus getting coffee?
Right, exactly. Right. Yeah. There's always the thing it should be. If your parent asks you for multiple things throughout the day, you don't say, sorry, mom, two's the limit. We're good. Get me tomorrow. You know, it's fine. You know, boxing, yeah, you have a lot of children, get one of them, right? Doesn't work that way, right? So this is going to be an interesting story that we're going to have to get to. But this, look at the next line of the Mordechai. The covered hayrav odif mikibet aveim. Zog the Mordechai, you have to show more respect to your rabbi than you do your parent. And if for your parent, you jump up 100 times a day, for your rabbi, you jump up 100 times a day also. So the Mordechai argues on the Rambam. What's negated to us is fascinating, that he brings a raya from our Gemara, and he goes the opposite direction. We keep on saying that rabbi and parents are equal. Says the Mordechai, they're not equal. Rabbi is a higher level. And if you have to jump up for your parent 100 times a day, you got to jump up for your rabbi 100 times a day. So what do you see from the Mordechai? First of all, you see from the Mordechai that first of all, he passes, you got to jump up for your parents 100 times a day. And not only that, you got to jump up for your rabbi 100 times a day. That's the Shita Samordechai, which Kaniro argues on the Rambam. Now, the reason why this is going to be relevant is, so what's Takad Halacha with your parents? You're spending a bunch of days with your parents, you tell me every single time, it's Mali Enov. Let's say you're not going to be Machem for the Gilya Masha. You're not going to stand up when you hear them come. Okay. You're going to stand up when you see them. It could be how many times a day? The Gantz talk is like that. So if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, number 22, the Mechaber writes, V'chayiv lamoy b'ponov mishiyah rena mirochim aliyah. This is talking about a Rabbi Muvok. You have to stand up for your Rabbi Muvok when you see Mali Enov, until he goes covered. Okay, look at the Ramah. Yesh Aymrim. Dein Odom Chayiv Lama Lifnei Rabbi Yirak Shachris V'Aretz. Says the Ramah, no. When it comes to a Rabbi Muvok, it's only twice a day. Now, the Chidah points out, I didn't put it on the sheet, the Chidah points out that he thinks the Mechaber argues in the Ramah. The Mechaber never gave a limit. The Mechaber never said a twice a day limit. So he thinks that this twice a day limit is only in the Ramah's world, which means the Ramah is going like the Rambam, twice a day limit. And the Mechaber is going like the Mordechai. It's usually atypical. Usually the Mechaber goes like the Rambam and the Ramah goes like the Mordechai. Mordechai was a German and the Mechaber usually goes with the Rambam. But here, if you keep the Cheshbon, it comes out that the Mechaber, who has no limit, is going like the Mordechai. And the Ramah that has a two-day limit, two-time-a-day limit, is going like the Rambam. Okay, so where does that leave us? What should us Jews do? So we Jews follow the Ramah, right? So if we follow the Ramah, and we only stand up twice a day for our Rebbe, so then we should only have to stand up twice a day for our parents. Sephardic Jews who follow the Mechaber should have to stand up every time. Is there a mock between Mechaber, between Rabbi Muvok and a parent? Maybe. The problem is if you do that, that falls off our whole last 2 weeks of Shurim. Our two last weeks of Shurim, we said whatever you do for your Rabbi Muvok, you do for your parent. So for my parent, if my Rabbi Muvok only have to stand up twice a day, then I'll have to stand up twice a day for my parent. I'm not sure when the day would start. You have to know, Shtickle. Start from the night before, the morning, you have to figure out when the 24 hours will start. But take a look in the Aruch HaShulchan. Zog to Aruch HaShulchan, Dover Pashat Ubi Gemara. It's a Dover Pashat, the Chayiv Lamay, B'fnei Ovi V'ima. You have to stand up for your parents. Zehu B'chlal Kibbut. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, that's a given. Standing up for your parents. Now, why is he saying this? Because it's not brought down in the Gemara. The Gemara never says in the list of things they have to do for your parents, the Gemara never says stand up for them. That's why the Aruch HaShulchan has to tell you, even though it's not the first in the list, it's part of that list. Upashit who detzarech lamay molay kumosay. You got to stand up all the way. V'gamnir me'agimor sham derakish shama kol psias aviv imoy tzarech lamay. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, it's not even a shayla by him. You have to stand up when you just hear them coming. I mean, the Aruch HaShulchan paskins like that Ramah in Hilchos Sefer Torah. Everything, you know, we've been trying for the last 20 minutes to get around it, and the Aruch HaShulchan paskins that like no big deal. Right. Like the Groz on the... That's right. Mm-hmm. And this, again, the Aruch HaShulchan is a very literature halachic sefer. This is what Jews, till the Holocaust in Europe, lived and died by, was the Aruch HaShulchan. And he writes without even a shiloh. This is what you have to do. It's amazing.
Who would you stand up before like this, before they even see you? You hear them. Do they have to see you? And you have to stand...
I think they're going to eventually come into the room, I guess.
Sense. And your kids...
Right. You. Until they walk out of the room. So if you hear them coming down the steps, you have a lot of steps in your house, you're going to be getting standing 2-3 minutes. And if they're taking their time, you can manage. You hear them outside on the phone. You hear them. They're standing outside on the phone. You hear them talking on the phone. They haven't turned the corner to come into the kitchen yet. Again, according to Aruch HaShulchan, I'm not telling you how we pass. According to Aruch HaShulchan, you already have to be in the standing position. Amazing.
So if you're in your car and they hear you because, you know, your speaker works loud, they have to sit there standing for an hour and a half before
you're in your car. You mean?
No, you're in your car in front of your house and you're talking. This happens all the time. The whole block hears me. You know what
if
I mean?
You're in the car. Not, oh, God. We're going to get to the soon. So we'll have to get to some of the nitty gritty detail. Again, I'm not saying we pass like the Yerach HaShulchan. Again, based on what we presented in the sugya, the Yerach HaShulchan has a lot of what to be saimach on. It makes sense what he's saying, but for if you connect it to the Ramah with the Vilna Goyen, unless you say all the Torah that we've been discussing today, there's chalukim, there's differences, but that's what he passed.
So seriously, you see your father drive up into the driveway. Sometimes you're on a phone call.
Yeah.
You stay in the car while you're on the phone call, but you know that's happening.
So
you're in the house.
Again,
you see the car.
According to what it says over here, that's what you have to do. Now, I'm not saying that's the way we're passing. Again, that's the beauty of saying this is not halacha, sure I can get away with that, but it does. That's what the Aruch HaShulchan writes. But he continues. This is the part that we need. He says, Ach b'mash yesh l'stapeh. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, what this I'm not sure about, which is amazing, which means everything else he was 100% sure about, which means the Aruch HaShulchan was sure, without a doubt, you have to stand up when you hear your parents coming, even though, again, it's not brought down anywhere in Ramon and Hilchos Kibbutz Aveim. But says the Aruch HaShulchan, what I am not sure about is the following. When it comes to a rabbi, Chazal say she'ein loy loko b'fnei rabbi el shach v'arbis. You don't have to stand up twice a day. Rumi kvoid shemayim ein shem. The lechayra gambo ove v'imay adin kein. So says the Aruch HaShulchan. 1 second. If we paskin like the Ramah, they only stand up for your rabbi moving twice a day. So you don't have to stand up for your parents twice a day. Should be the same. The loy matzinu she yugra kvoid rabbi mikvoid oviv. We don't find anywhere that it's worse. Now again, we've been learning for the last 2 weeks that they're exactly the same. So says the Aruch HaShulchan, if you hold like the Ramah, that you only stand up for your parent, you only stand up for your rabbi twice a day, then it should mean the same thing for your parents.
Why does he look at it that way? The reason why you only stand up for your rabbi twice a day is because it shouldn't be better than a
kodesh. Right.
Right. But when he says, when he asks the question,
right,
that why is the parent greater than the rabbi? That's not the right question. It's why is the parent greater than
correct? Right. I mean, his point is we don't find anywhere in the Chazal that a parent has more chumra dika kibbut aveim than a rabbi. And if a rabbi is limited to two, for a reason, and a chametz. That's going to be his next point. He says v'im kain v'oid shaloi yikvoida merubim yikvoid shemayim. He says, and David's point. And the same problem you have for multiple standing for your rabbi, you have for standing for your parent. V'im kain. Kisha oviv ha'imai nechnosin l'kama pa'am b'yoyim ein tzarech lam b'neim el ha'shachus v'arvis. Oy efshir. Or maybe not. Always two sides. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, oy efshir. Tal Yushalmi sh'om ha'shehedif ha'kosov k'voido mikvoid shemayim. There is a Yushalmi which we didn't get to. It's in the Tosfos on the top of the Yomid, which we didn't see yet. Tosfos has a line that kibud aveim is bigger than honoring Hashem. You have to show more respect for Hashem than you do. You have to more respect for your parents than you do for Hashem. How is that? So the Yushalmi basically says that.
It's by honoring your parents, you're honoring Hashem.
So that might be the reason, but where the Yushalmi says it, because he's talking about the idea of spending money for your parents. So he says that you don't have to, there's only a certain amount of money you have to spend to do mitzvahs. But when it comes to your parents, you got to spend everything. Why is that so? Says Taisvis, because you have to show more respect to your parents than you do to Hashem. So says the Aruch HaShulchan.
I thought if it's a question, we always said that they, in your parents, in other words, that they should be paying for it.
No, the Yushalmi is a different sugya. Yushalmi is discussing how much money you have to spend on your parents. And he says, even though for mitzvahs we have a limit, but for kibbutz aveim, that's Yushalmi shita. That's not the Bavli shita. We'll have to get to all this. So says the Aruch HaShulchan, you see from this Yushalmi that there's a possibility that maybe you have to go beyond your parents for Hashem. So that's interesting. The Aruch HaShulchan is not taking a stand now. He's saying there's an element over here that since the reason why we don't stand for a rabbi is sholay kvoid gadol mikvoid shemayim, but by a parent, it might be greater than Kavach. So if you take a look over in the Dibros Moshe, the Dibros Moshe is a Moshe Sefer that's unfortunately not used as much as his Igros. And the Dibros Moshe, Moshe is bothered with this kasha. He writes, Moshe wants to know why Taka is there no discussion about how frequent does one have to stand up for their parent. It doesn't say it anywhere. So he writes, Mashma shalifnei oviv tzarech lamed afilu kama pom. So if Moshe thinks, api alocha, the Yitak have to stand up, come upon him for the parent. Parent comes in and out the whole day. He comes, they come down the steps, up the steps, they come into the house, out of the house, they go out for a walk. Every time they pop into the house, you gotta jump up. Sadr Moshe, Lucharit Mua. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shut of Yoise Mi Ova V'Imoi, Shehu B'Shnei Chalokim, V'Ika Gam Ken Atam Shalei Kvoy Demiru B'Kvoy Chimayim Gam Ba'Ava'im B'Tzorchi. So I thought what Ramosha might be saying was that maybe you can argue that the reason why I have to stand up so many times for my parents is because I'm also standing up for Hashem. Now, the problem is, what I think Ramosha might be saying is your parents is only 1/3 of the partnership, 2/3 of the parents. So if you're asking who am I standing on more for, it's really more parents than it is Hashem. They have a tiny Rav Moshe similar to Rav HaShulchan. You can't stand up more for your parents than you do for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Rav Moshe Mamash leads up to Rechin. It's a pellet to me. I have to double check. I don't think he quotes this Rav HaShulchan Rav Moshe, which I'm sure he knew, but the Rav HaShulchan Mamash has the same stuff as Rav Moshe is misopic about. And Rav Moshe Taka leaves to Rechin. He doesn't know. He Taka thinks the halacha would be you have to stand up kama pa'amim for your parents, but he's troubled. He doesn't know why it should be that way. What happened to the time of Shiloh Kvot Shemayim Godol Mikovit Aved? So this is an interesting element to the sugya, that even though we've been comparing it to Rabbi, to a perfect analogy to Rabbi, it might not be so perfect. It could be Aviv Ima is a little better than Rabbi in this regard to the frequency of how often you have to stand up for them. Daughters? I'm saying for their parents. Yeah, that goes back to the old sugya that we talked about, what happens once they get married. So when they get married, do we say they lose only Moira and Kibbut if the husband doesn't matter, if the husband doesn't mind? So assuming the husband doesn't mind, it should be the same.
Assume the husband doesn't matter. That's the Messiah.
So, so, yeah.
But, did you say matter or yeah, count?
Yeah, no, they should.
Either one.
They should. Okay. They definitely should. Yeah, I think so.
Is the same?
No. So, totally different sugya. That we're going to see later on when we get to the sugya. But they say the talk and keep it of aim are very different. We'll see the Briskero is going to discuss that at length. And they're different. And that really takes us to the Chazanish's kasha. Back to Chazanish. V'yeshli ayin. Loma parta teira mitzvahs kima b'chacham. Frank the Chazanish gavaldik kasha. Really, our kasha. We've been struggling with this kasha for 2 weeks. Not only does the Torah never tell us how to stand up for a parent, the Gemara doesn't even tell us clearly to stand up for a parent. We only figure it out from the fact that if Yosef would stand up when he hears his parents, we learn from it you have to stand up for your parents. Frank the Chazanish, why does the Torah say it so clearly by chacham, that they seva tokum, in front of a wise person, you should stand up? Kivin shechayv ben moira de marbina meis Hashem el kecha tiro. Meaning, fact of Chazanish, I don't understand. Why did the Torah have to specify standing up for a Seva? Right? Assuming Seva means a Talmud Chacham. We have another drasha from Chazal that you have to honor a Talmud Chacham. You have to show Yira to a Talmud Chacham. As Hashem Elokecha Tira, the Rabbis Talmidei Chacham. So now that I know Talmidei Chacham have to get honor and respect, so why did the Torah have to specifically tell me to stand up for them? And to make the Kasha stronger, it didn't tell me that by a parent. That's the Chazanish's Kasha. So he gives two answers. He says, "Yesh loymer the mikom mokim ripsa teira baasem yuchedes bekim of hidim." So his first teretz is in Achrami. The Torah went out of its way to give you one extra specific iser to stand up or mitzvah to stand up for a tamal koch. But he says, "Umiul amandam lekamal ambeiz mebeiz yonav kochem loy kosher dachay bichvoydi b'mayr v'nira." Let's get to the second teretz. V'nira the inkim mo bichal kibud elim chay v'teir behed. Not the chaznisha gavaldik yisoid. If the Torah wouldn't have told me to stand up for my rabbi, I don't know if I would have had to, or an elderly person. I don't know if I would have said it on my own. That's the way I show reverence to them, by standing up for them. I have no idea. Maybe I should say good morning to them. What do I show? How do I go about showing that reverence? I wouldn't know. So therefore, the Torah had to tell me, let me show you how you do that. Standing up. Okay. But by a parent where it's a higher level kibud, it doesn't need to be explained. It goes without saying that that's what you have to do. So the Chazanish's answer is that the levels of kibud are not the same. By a regular Talmud Chacham, I wouldn't know what I'm supposed to do for him. I'm supposed to say, how do I express my kibbutz? So the Torah says, let me tell you what you need to stand up for. Abazav the Chazanish by a parent? That's partially stand. I don't even need the Torah to tell it to me. That is simply understood.
A couple weeks ago, kibbutz Avim was a Messias in the world.
That's right. That's basically what the Chazanish said. Right. So you don't need to be told to stand up for your parent. That is self-explanatory that you have to honor your father, you have to stand up for him. Okay. Adkan, the sugya of kibud of aim in this regard. Let's go a little weiter. I want to try to get jumpstart on the next sheet. Let's see another Gemara. Number 26 says the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, this is a very geshmak Gemara, but a very difficult Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ashrei mi, praiseworthy is that person, Shaloicha Amon. Praiseworthy is that person who never met his parents.
What does that mean?
That doesn't sound like a Hallmark card, right?
Yeah.
Praiseworthy is the person who never met his parents. So, Dr. Ashrei, what does it mean, Ashrei mi, Shaloicha Amon? She efsha the kain kvoidam kechol atzayrich v'unene shalem. He says, because if you're going to have parents, you're not going to be able to keep it up in the right way. So it's better not to have parents. Wow. That's a statement, right?
Yeah.
Then the Gemara continues. Why? Because Rabbi Yochanan kavrisa imay, when Rabbi Yochanan's mother was pregnant, Meis Aviv, his father died. Yaladata, when she gave birth, Meis Imay's mother died. So he was an orphan. So it was up to Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan said, how lucky am I to be an orphan? I don't think most orphans think like that today. You know, how lucky it's a schos to be an orphan, not to have parents, chas v'shalom. It's a very hard thing to understand. But Dr. Yochanan, it's because it's almost impossible to probably be Mekayim Kibbutz Avim. So, Frektiv Steinemann, one second. That's the better option. Wouldn't the better option be? You have to remember, he was never mezalzel b'choyr aviv, but he was also never mekayim kibud aviv. Let's take a regular kid. So let's assume a regular kid will have his shortcomings in kibud aviv, but a couple of times he'll get it right. A couple of times in his life, hopefully, maybe he'll have a lot of shortcomings.
He could have better him.
Right. You know, he's saying Yerchan is giving us a strong statement that it's almost impossible for any child to properly be mechabed the parents. So Yerchan is saying, I'm happy I was never put in that situation. I wouldn't be able to do it.
It's hyperbole.
Yeah, exactly.
So let's take a look over
the guy that was born with no arms, so he never was mezalzel.
Oh, so one second.
Yeah, why didn't I say that about like, no. I was never born? So that I
well, the Gemara says that. Tell you, we should never be born. Now, Rabbi Yochanan is obviously giving us a very strong insight about how careful one has to be with Kibbutz Aveim, right? So let's see Reb Steinman, number 20. Frech Reb Steinman. Tzorachin. Hatoiv lo odom afilum habi pom leikam Kibbutz Aveim. Avo bevada habi pom yasa Kibbutz Aveim. Frech Reb Steinman, granted, many times throughout our life we'll be nichshal in Kibbutz Aveim. But a lot of times we'll get it right. Im kein, hare yeloi mitzvahs. V'loma yoyse toiv sheloi abo v'imo. The haschar ala pa'omim shekin you can't give ra'im ze godl moid. I mean, Frank Steinman, I don't get it. You're right. Let's even assume right of the time he gets it wrong. But at least the minority of the time he gets it right. So the minority of the time he gets it right, he's become this great mitzvah called kibbutz aveim, which the Torah promises Yerichas Yomim. So why is it, you know, what do they say? Throw out the baby with the water? With the bath water, right? Well, what?
Are you over when you
Avada. Avada, you're over.
So who says?
Ah, Zokim Steinman, v'yesh lo imad, and yikol mokim, eim miskayim ratzen Hashem. That is not a fair trade-off in the eyes of Hashem. In Hashem Unbelievable. This is a Musa Shmuz right here. Says Reb Steinman, it's not a good trade-off. We think it's a trade-off. 75-25, so 75% I botch it, 25% they get it right. So overall, it's worth it. Says Reb Steinman, no, it's not worth it. In the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you're going to botch it that many times, it doesn't balance the fact that 25 times you get it right. So all those kids, and the kids do this, a lot of times they're bad to bad, but there's a couple times I'm nice to my parents, so it all balances out. No, it does not balance out. Even without this Gemara, it doesn't balance out, right? There's not a tit for tat. Well, a lot of times I'm good, sometimes I'm not. So like it all evens out at the end. It doesn't even out. Every time you're presented with kibbutz aveim, you have to do it the right way. It's a very strong Gemara.
Rabbi, just as a side point, whoever said you can't answer lumdus with drush.
Yeah, but this is a very heavy Gemara. Then the Gemara continues. The chen abaya, same thing with abaya. We know abaya also did not have parents. Frak the Gemara, ain't is that so? Abaya didn't have parents. V'amr abaya omelien. Abayas frequently calls his mother. And says the Gemara, who Marbinise? That's not his real mother. That was his caretaker. Rashi says, Umenis, that was his caretaker. Now, it's interesting. There's a discussion of how Abaya got his name, Abaya. And Abaya and Rava, popular Amoraim, right? Fourth century Amoraim, very popular.
Was it for Ima and Abba?
We'll get to that in a second. So let's take a look at the Marsha. So the Marsha number 21 writes, Ubesefi Yuchsin Abaya Roshetavis Asher Becho Yeruchom Yosem. Marsha quotes from the Sefer Yuchsin, that the name Abaya is an abbreviation. It stands for the letters Asher Bechor Yeruchim Yosef. That you, because Abaya was an orphan, he got a bracha by somebody that everyone should find favor in his eyes, people should feel bad for him, and they should take compassion for him and feel for his situation. So the name Abaya is not a real name. If you take a look in Rashi, Mesechus Gittin, Daf Lama Dalin, Rashi tells us, interesting, the Gemara in Gittin talks about someone named Nachmeni. Who's Nachmeni? So the Gemara over there has Machlokes Abaya, and the Gemara says, Hilchasa Kenachmeni. Who on earth is Nachmen? So Rashi says in Gittin, Abaya. Nachmen is Abaya. The Omagiloi Daita Begita La Milsi. We know, we learned when we were little kids, the famous Yalkigam, all the places where there's Machoikis Abaya and Rav and who we paskin like. So here the Gemara says, this is like Nachmeni, and that's like Abaya. Who's Abaya? Who's Nachmeni? Says Rashi. Benir Beinai. The Alshem She Rabba Bar Nachmeni Gidal Abaya Bebesim. Rabba Bar Nachmeni was Abaya's uncle. And we mentioned that Abaya died, so someone had to raise him. So who raised him? His uncle, Rabbi Bar Nachmeni. Well, Lom the Torah, and he was his major Rebbe. Abaya had two major Rebbeim. One was Rabbi Nachmeni, and the other one was Rabbi Yosef. We've been discussing here also. Rabbi Yosef was his other major Rebbe. And he says, V'nir Rebbeinei da'al shem she Rabbi Bar Nachmeni gidol Abaya b'beisai. Since Rabbi Bar Nachmeni raised him in his house, V'lom the Torah, Shai Yosem, Hesiu es shem aviv. He named him after his own father. Which means Abaya was named for his grandfather. Because Rabbi Bar Nachmeni and Abaya's father were brothers. So he named it for his grandfather. Stam hu Rabbi Bar Nachmeni. So therefore says the Rashi, the reason why we call Abaya sometimes in Shas Nachmeni, Nachmeni comes from his grandfather, who was Rabbi Bar Nachmeni, and Rabbi gave him that name. Now take a look in the Gilyan HaShas.
Rabbi, don't keep it over.
Oh, says the Gilyan Ashasim Kiveger. He writes, Uba Aruch Erech Abaya Kosav, Vishem HaGoinim. Quotes away from the Goinim. 31, the Nachmeni Shmoy. No, they really called him at his bris Nachmeni. Vahoya Bar Achve de Rabba Bar Nachmeni. And he was a nephew of Rabba Bar Nachmeni, the Talmidei and a student. But Kiven de Have Shmei Nachmeni, Kishem Avua, the Rabba Bar Nachmeni, Lo Yave Karele Bechosha Nachmeni. He said that Rabba didn't want to call Abaye Nachmeni because that was his father's name. He felt weird calling his nephew by his father's name. So he gave him a nickname. So he gave him a name. Abaya is from Lashon father. So he said, I want to call you my father's name, but I can't call you a name, so I'm going to call you father. So that's how the name Abaya came from. So the name Abaya that we have in Shas all over, Abaya is almost quoted very, very frequent. The name Abaya is not so posh how he got the name Abaya. Was the name Abaya really his name? Was it really the name Nachmeni? Or was it merely just an abbreviation based on the Gilyan Mashe? Okay, that was just a little bit of Jewish history. Let's start the next sugya. This next sugya, Rabbeisai, is a very, very shvur sugya. More for halacha l'maisa than lamdas, but we'll at least start it. This is going to be the sugya, which is a massive topic, which maybe one day we'll cover on a Tuesday night. How to deal with parents that have nebuch dementia and Alzheimer's? How do you deal with such kibbut avim in that case? Unfortunately, this is a serious reality for many, many people. How exactly do you go about dealing with such a situation? So like everything else in the world, it's a sugya and shas. Let's take a look in the Gemara Kedusha number one. Says the Gemara. Revasi havelei ima zkeina. Revasi had an elderly mother. Amrale, she said to him, be'ina takshitin. I want jewelry. So as a good son, what did he do? Avadle. He went, he made her jewelry, he got her jewelry, took care of it. Then she said to her, be'ina gavro. I need a guy. So the Riazaki is going to fill us in over here. What does it mean? I need a guy. So if you look at number three, Baal, she wanted to get remarried. She wanted a husband. Okay, no problem. So what happens? Sana'ayin. So he tells her back, no problem. I'll look into a good guy for you. I got a good shidduch for my mother. What happens next? So she says, no. Be'ina gavra de shape kavoseich. He says, no, I need someone as good as you. Every mother thinks their son is the greatest gift in the world. I need someone as good as my son. Okay. So says the Gemara, Shavka v'ozol Arad Yisrael. Rav Asi bounced. He fled Bavel and went to Eretz Yisrael. Why? What's going on over here? What's going on over here? So take a look for a second at the Taisa Riazokin.
Not to find a guy.
Says the Taisa Riazokin. Na'ayin, nirev avakshen aloch. Okay, I'll look into a shidduch called Peshatchen. The Shaper, Yofa. The Yeshlod, if he means good looking as you or as wonderful as my son. But this is the kicker. The hikir shenitra fadaita. Abasi said, mom is not well. Something's wrong. She thinks, again, I'm not going to say how you want to say this, but why did he realize that something is wrong with his mother? Either his mother thinks she's going to get a guy like my age, my beauty, not in a beauty way, but like you're a little older. The Gemara tells her she was older. Right? You think you're going to get a young guy, you're a little older, or you thought you're going to get a guy like me, whatever it was. But Abasi's mind said to himself, my mother is not doing well. If she thinks I'm going to find her a guy like me. So what happened? Varach, he ran away. He said, I can't stick around over here. This is impossible. My mother's going to have all these very unattainable requests. What does she want me to do? I can't find such a shit. It doesn't exist. So therefore, I'm just going to leave and avoid the whole issue. Now, is that right? Which words? I run away because I don't want to be held responsible in Shemayim for what I do wrong. Right? Keep it of aim is one of those mitzvahs that we don't get punished in this world. It's the next world. Right. It sounds like he fled. It sounds like he tells him that this is a lose-lose situation for me. I can't give my mother what she needs. She's unfortunately not well. So what do? I just leave.
So
Shailas, how does that help? So let's go back to the Gemara for a second. This is the real Gemara that talks about the Shailah of how do you deal with parents that unfortunately are nitrofadaita. Nitrofadaita is dementia or other forms. Again, it's not a halacha shir by any stretch of the imagination. Maybe one day we will, but we'll just get to some of the Reisha Prakim that come out from this Gemara. But let's go back to the Gemara. So now, in the Gemara itself, it doesn't tell us why he left. The Vilna Goin on the side fills it in. That's that little aleph. In the small aleph, the Vilna Goin says the reason why he left was because he realized his mother was nitrofadaita. You can read the Gemara without that, and it makes Ravasi sound even worse. His mother asked for a shidduch, and he said, I'm out. I don't do shidduch. Not my thing, right? And he moved to the other side of the world. But according to the Goyin, it's in the Girsa of the Gemara. We don't have it in our Girsa, but that's how the Teis of Yerzakim clearly learned the Gemara. We'll see the Ran also learned the Gemara this way. That Rav Asi left because of Kibbut Avei.
This book, making Aliyah, is actually one of the mitzvahs.
We'll talk about that also. That's going to work its way into the Sugya also. Meaning if he would have said, I'm leaving to go to Florida, that would have been a different conversation. But part of where he left was Taka to go to Eretz Yisrael. Let's go back to Gemara for a second. So Shavka, he left V'Ozal Arad Yisrael. Shoma Deka Ozla Abbas Rey. He heard his mom's coming to see him. You know, what do they say? You can run, but you can't hide, right? His mom packed her suitcase. She got a ticket. She's coming to visit us up. Shoma Deka Ozla Abbas Rey. She's coming to hear. So also the Kamer to Rabbi Yechanan. He came to Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Yechanan was the Godel Ador in Eretz Yisrael at this time. So Amar Lei, he asked Rabbi Yechanan, Ma'u Lot Seis Ma'aretz L'Chutzlaretz. Am I allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael to go back to Chutz La'aretz? Now, he did not tell Rabbi Yechanan the backdrop of the story. He didn't tell him by my mother. He didn't tell him anything. He just told him, Stam, you know, I want to go back to Chutz La'aretz. Amalei Yasser. Oh, no. Can't go to Eretz Yisrael. Can't leave. Amalei L'Kras Imoy Mahu. What happens if I'm going to visit my mother? And this is going to be another big signal we'll have to talk about. Are you allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz to visit your mother? I'll keep it aveim. So what did he say? L'Kras Imoy Mahu. Hola? Well, again, Rashi explained. No, because he wanted to like meet her before she left. He figured if I can get her before she leaves, I'll stop her from having to travel to me. I'll come to her instead of her coming to me.
He wanted to avoid her.
Yeah,
but he did. But once he heard she's coming, so instead of having his mother schlep all the way across the ocean to come visit him, he figured, let me just go to her. Yes, that was. Now, Rabbi Yechon didn't know that. So what happens? Amalei, so he asks him, what about if I'm going to see my mother? So Amalei told him, I in Yedea. I don't know. Blew him off. So again,
it's
so
interesting that he happened to ask Rabbi Yochanan, who just talked about how hard it is to.
That's right. Right. I had to be in the midst. Right. That's why this Gemara connects to the Gemara before. We'll see that other Mefarshim have other Pshatim, but I think this Gemara connects very beautifully because this Gemara is the example of when you can't do Kibbut Avei, you just run away. The
question is,
right, we don't know because he didn't tell Rabbi Yechanan the whole story. So what happens? He tells his mother, "Say Amalei." He tells Ani Adair. So Asvich Laporta Hader Asar Amalei. Asi Nisras is lots of time. Asi, he goes back to him and he tells him, "Oh, Asi wants to leave. Yachzir Chalashalom. He should come back in peace." Meaning he said, "I see Rav Asi. I see Rav Asi wants to leave Eretz Yisrael. Let him go and come back in peace." So this rest of the story is not really going to get to our sugya at all. But he basically, the Gemara tells us, also the Kamei to Rabbi Eliezer. He came to Rabbi Eliezer, who was a Talmud of Rabbi Yechanan. Amalei Chas v'Shalom Dilma Mesach Resach. Was Rabbi mad at me? Was Rabbi Yechanan upset at me for the way he responded? Amalei, my Amalek, what did he tell you? Amalei, Hamokim Yezirich L'Shalom. He told me that Hashem should bless me. I should return in peace. Amalei v'Misa de Resach L'Ham Devar. He said, nah. If he was mad at you, he wouldn't have given you a bracha that you should return safely. Obviously, he's not mad at you. What's the end of the story? Adahachi v'achi Shama La'Irei de Kasi. He heard that his mother's Aaron was coming. She died. Amai said, Yodi Lenaf. If I would have known all this, I would have never left. Okay, so we'll have to get to Bali Nadah after Pesach, the second half of the story. Let's talk about the first half of the story. Rav Asi bailed. According to the Teis of Yerzakim, he got the feeling that there's nitra v'daiti by his mother. His mother's not 100%. She's losing her mental capacities. He ran away. Is that right? Is that what a Jew is supposed to do? So let's take a look in the Rambam.
You didn't learn before that your mother was attacking you.
Oh.
You're obviously crazy, and you still have to make it.
So let's see. That's what we're gonna have to get to. Let's take a look in the Rambam. Dr. Rambam Hilchas Mamrim. Mi shenitra fadaita shal avivoy shal imoy. If someone's parent Nebuch becomes nitra fadaita, it means they lose their mind. Not clear to what extent. Again, today we have medical terms for everything, and we have much more distinct way of defining them. But Dr. Rambam generally mi shenitra fadaita, mishtado lino gimoyim kifi daita. You gotta try to be with them based on their mental capacity. Achi yerucham alem, until you can be compassionate for them, try your best. V'im hi efshar lo lama neshin ishtata to be yoiser. But if it's impossible to be there because they are too much, they are too far beyond the normal level, yanicham, leave them. V'yelech loy, and go on your merry way. But v'itzav acherim la'anigam karoy lehem. But make sure you leave someone in your place to take care of them. It sounds like the modern day nursing home, assisted living, hospital, whatever you want to call it. Again, so what do you see from this Rambam? So the Rambam records the story of Rav Asi exactly where it's in the Gemara. Rav Asi left. That's what the Gemara says. Rav Asi left. Now, does anyone say Rav Asi was wrong, Rav Asi was bad, Rav Asi was a chayte? No. But the Rambam adds one line. The Yelech, the Yitzava Acherim. You should command others lahanigam karoi lahem, to conduct them what's proper for them. Also important words in the Rambam. Karoi lahem, what's best for them, meaning the patient, not necessarily what's best for the child, but what's best for the patient. So this Rambam seems to be like the Gemara. Now this Rambam is exactly the way it's found in Shulchan Aruch. So Shulchan Aruch Tzemir Reish Mem Sif Yud is exactly what the Mechaber writes, which means for all those people that sometimes struggle with, should I put my parents in a nursing home? Is it right? Is it wrong? Should I get them an aid? I won't be there as much. According to the Rambam, we'll have to see if we're passing like the Rambam, but according to the Rambam, if you can't care for them because of whatever limitations they have, get them someone who could. Okay. Come. Yeah.
So when he's talking about the parent, he's saying it's too hard for you because it's too inconvenient. They don't really understand what's going on.
Even that's good. So that's what we got to figure out. What? Good. This is all what we have to get to. What is the problem over here? Why are you leaving? What are you leaving for? Because you can't? It's impossible for you to deal with your parents' crazy requests? Or the pshat is you don't want to? We'll have to get this a little clear. But let's just start the Ravid. Says the Ravid, Ein zur hayro on the choin. Kind of the Ravid, I don't like this psak of the Ram. This is not a correct psak. Why? Im hu yelich v'yeniach loy, if you're going to leave your parent, Lemi yitzave l'shoimroi. Who's going to watch them? So it sounds like the Ravid Hasog and the Rambam is a practical element. Who's going to take your place? This is before the invention of AIDS, before there are hospitals and doctors and nurses and people that do this for a living. Says the Ravid, I understand, you're going to bail on your parents. But don't worry, I'm going to leave some in my place. Do you think that person in your place is going to be nearly as good as you?
They make you better because they get paid.
That's today. That's because of the modernization of hired help and all these things that we have today.
But he's saying
what? So what's the Ravid? So this, what is the Ravid Hasog on the Rambam over here? This we're going to have to get to Glenn after Pesach. What was bothering the Ravid that he's massing on the Rambam? Right? It sounds like they're having not a lomdus of machloikis. They're having a practical machloikis. The Rambam thinks he can get better care, and the Ravid says he can't get better care. So what's the machloikis? It's a funny loss. He says, Ein zu hayuro nechayn. It's not a correct psak. The Rambam didn't say any grace chidushim. All the Rambam said was hire someone to take your place.
Maybe the Rambam meant you could only do that if you can find somebody.
Okay, so believe that the Nach Pesach, we're going to have to deal with all of this machloikis Rambam Ravid. See where they're coming from and what you can get out from the Gemara and understand this lamdusha machloikis Rambam and Ravid.